This is Jan Stringer, and today is our call number 3. And we're going to be discussing Module 3 as well, and we're here for the 5 and 5 class. So I'm Jan. This is
Alan, and today's date is August 6th.
So I hope that you guys have been having a good time between last call and this call. And I know I've feel like it's been years since the last call. Last week was only a week ago, right? But it feels like it was a lot longer. So I don't know what that means, except that life seems to be moving quickly these days, and there was a lot in between. So, well, let's just get started with sharing a little bit about what you've noticed, what's come clear for you since we last met. So who would like to start out? Say, pick me. All right, you're picked, Patty.
Yep. Oh, wow. It feels like it has been a long time since the last call. Oh, goodness. So continuously really noticing blinders and standing in a place. Right now, I'm really focused on that tick of being unstoppable courage.
Mm.
And things came up last week for me, particularly at the end of the month, to make numbers and to get things handled and to also step into a role of a business owner, which happened on Friday. It was all about upping my game, about really focusing on enrollment and registration and getting people in workshops and coaching and really focus on them instead of on, oh, it's not happening for me.
Mm-hmm.
And really switching that. Even showed up on Friday, well, actually Thursday afternoon, because I was with a client who encouraged me to go to the Chamber of Commerce breakfast on Friday, and he asked me if I was going, and I said no, and he says, why? Because I didn't have it on my calendar. I'm not a member, and I just didn't have it on my calendar. So he just asked me the question. He goes, you want more registrations for your workshop, right? and of course I said yes. He goes, well, you need to go to this chamber breakfast, because by the time the next chamber breakfast is, the workshop will be over. I'm like, you are correct. So long story short, he got me on the list of attendees for Friday. And I went, I had a great time, and he really was also mirroring what he experienced in the workshop that I held in June, which was more playful, more spontaneous, and really being different than he's been in the past, being more playful and more spontaneous.
Wow.
So it was really a very powerful experience for me, and I have found that that has also strengthened my connection with him as well.
Uh-huh.
He's inviting others to the workshop in August, and it's big. It's all big.
That's great. So... lots of fodder there, Patty, for what's going on in your business and your growth.
Mm-hmm.
And
totally.
You know, stepping into unstoppable courage and being a business owner, really seeing yourself like that. That's some big steps.
That's huge.
And just to tag on, I know when a client like that raves about you, be sure to write it down.
Right.
And then you've got a testimonial.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can go back, even if you didn't write that down, you can go back now and think of, you know, what are some of the things you remember he said. Write it all up in a paragraph and send it to him and ask him, this is kind of what I remembered. Is this what you said? And could you edit it if it wasn't?
Sure.
I'd like to use you, you know, as one of my
testimonials.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I want to thank you, Patty, for clearly demonstrating how what we're working with here is the number one strategy for creating lucrative, raving fans, because that is what showed up at the chamber breakfast. on Friday.
It did.
That's what a lucrative Loyal Raven fan looks like. Someone who is out there spreading the word about you just for the joy of seeing you succeed. And that's how we multiply ourselves and how we invoke what I call the power of strategic synchronicity. You know, that room was filled with perfect customers for all of us. And that's, you know, what you guys did there Friday morning just really opened up the whole room.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, since all of us weren't there, why don't you share, Patty, what did you do? I'm curious to hear the details.
What happened?
Yeah, so what happened? So tagging on to what was going on Thursday, how he got me to the event, you know, got me registered for the chamber breakfast, because he ended up calling the office and saying, you know, she wants to come, can she pay at the door? Yes, of course. And so I was on the list. Second thing that happened after that phone call, and I was getting ready to leave, he says, here's the deal. He says, you bring me some antennae. So I have these, I do a lot of improv work, and I have headbands that have these either B antennae or some
the
sort of...
Blind boppers, right?
Yeah, the little silver boppers on the top, you know, and I have those. And he said, bring me one of those, and you, me, you wear your boa. So I wore a pink boa on Friday, and he had the bee antennae. And so he gets up there and leads the group in a cheer about reverse mortgages, of all things.
With his bee boppers on.
With the antenna on, and he said, it's all her fault, pointing to me. You know, you got to go to her workshop. And then I was the follow-on act, basically, to talk about who I am and what I do, and then I've got a workshop coming up on the 30th. So it was like that. I followed instructions, is what I did, and it wasn't my idea. It didn't look like my idea. However, you know, it was his idea, and I totally played with it. So
yes,
that's
you
what
got
happened.
That you were the source of it.
Yes. And it was
that's what
fun.
It looks like when you're really living from your tick.
Yeah.
What makes you tick. That's what it looks like.
Oof.
Okay.
Unstoppable courage and defying doubt.
Great. Did someone else join in that hadn't said hello yet?
Amy,
good morning.
Hi.
All right.
Hi, it's Lisa.
Hey, Lisa, welcome. Glad you're
here.
Hi,
Lisa.
Apologize for being a little late.
Never need to do that with us. You're here in the perfect time.
When you intend to be.
Even after all those not being on time things in the homework.
We're trying to put an end to being late fear.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Can I tell you stories on that one? Anyway, so we're just touching base in, connecting in, and Patty was just sharing about some of her unstoppable courage. So who would like, did anybody else join in that hadn't said hello? Let me just check real quick.
It's Robin. I joined in.
Oh, okay.
Robin.
Hey, Robin.
Good morning, everyone.
Glad you're here.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glad you're here. All right.
Glad you're here.
So who would like to share next? We're just catching up, you know, connecting what's become clear for you since we last met. So who's next? Pick me. All right. Let's see. I think I heard Robin say pick me.
You did.
Okay. So you're picked.
I'll try to narrow it down for what's become clear. I think I spoke last week about the snarky email from the client. And we got another snarky email last night. And we actually just sent an email back saying maybe we're not a good fit. Well, we said more than this, but essentially distilled down, maybe we're not a good fit. And if you want to work with another broker, we think that would be just fine. And we got an email back this morning saying, no, we trust, you know, we have a husband-wife husband-wife difference of opinion.
Wow.
And if the wife, the wife has already moved away and the husband is still here, and I think she's feeling a sense of no control, and
mm-hmm.
she's ready for the house to be sold, and we've had it less than a little over a month now. So,
right.
you know, there are some very unrealistic expectations, mm-hmm. and we have said that in no uncertain terms, and he came back this morning and said, oh, no, I absolutely trust you to handle our property. I want you to do this, you know, all of that sort of thing. So I guess as of now, we still have the listing, but we stood up and really said, this is not okay. We're offended by what you did. Maybe you need to move on. So there was just a real, instead of just taking it because, oh, my gosh, we need this listing, it was a case of, you know what?
Right.
This is not okay.
It's not perfect for you.
No.
It's not perfect for us. So
uh-huh.
now I guess the ball is back in our court. Do we move on or do we
mm-hmm.
have we set some framework for if it's going to be perfect for us, this is uh-huh. the way it needs to be.
Yes, yes, yes
so,
and yes.
So
that, and it, that it's really that is a perfect example for today's message in
exactly.
the Module 3. So. I'm going to come back to you when we get to that part of today's call, but
okay.
that's perfect. I can absolutely, you're on the right track. That,
man.
Hey,
yeah.
Dan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dan.
Yeah.
This is Amy. Can I just tell her something real quick?
Oh, sure.
Years ago, I had a client in my training facility, and kind of the same thing happened. And I literally had to go to the client after their training one day and tell them that I thought that possibly they would have to find another location for all their future trainings because of how they were treating my employees. And the next morning they came back to me, and it ended up being one of my largest clients that I had for years.
Wow.
Just by
wow.
me going and saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is not how I allow my clients to treat my employees.
Right.
And there, wow, that's great, Amy. And there's a reason for this, and Jan is going to tie all this together with step number three. You're going to, I mean, that's just amazing, the wisdom that you two have just surfaced here for this particular class. You have really dug the foundation deep because you're actually having a direct personal experience of the power of the process that we're working with and the principle that's underneath step number three. So I can't wait to talk about it.
Okay. All right.
So who's next?
All right. Who's next?
I am.
All
Lisa.
Right. All right,
Lisa.
Well, I found it quite revealing to look at the complaints that and how you can reframe them into perfect customers. And I don't really have a lot of complaints about my business. I like my business, and I like the people I work with. But last year, I had a series of what you might call certifiably crazy people. And, I mean, they were really awful. And,
they came out in the full moon or something.
Yeah, and,
yeah.
I kept saying to myself, well, what am I doing to attract this? I mean, what is it in me that's attracting this kind
mm-hmm.
of client? And
right.
what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized what I was doing is I was kind of complaining about the situation. And I was complaining not out to people, but to myself about it. And I wasn't really enjoying my customers, and understandably, because they were, but I think there was something connected because I was thinking negatively about my customers, that it almost drew more situations like that to me. So then I just made a vow that I'm not gonna allow myself to think anything negative about any customer ever.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes up, I'm just gonna cancel it. You know,
right.
and it's amazing. Since then, I've had lovely clients. Every single one has been wonderful.
Fabulous.
So
well,
seeing how we can reframe
this. Do you have enough clients?
Well, currently I have quite a few.
Okay.
A complaint
doesn't have to be like a snarky email or they're rude or anything like that. A complaint could be, I want an account to close faster and it's not. and a complaint could be, I could use a few more of these clients like I've got, you know, that I really like. So it doesn't have to be, you know, like really, really, you know, a bad thing. It's just a way of looking at how there's something I want that I'm not getting. That's another way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And keep expanding that, you know. So that's you're on the right track. You already had naturally looked at last year when you attracted some less than perfect clients and saw, you know, how you've shifted. And that becomes very, very useful information. You can use that kind of information. Okay, I shifted this way. Now I have an experience of better clients that I'm enjoying working with. Now, what's the next step for me? How do I want to take it to an even greater, even more perfect, if you forgive the grammar?
Yeah, so from that standpoint, complaints really are my friend because I get to spin them into gold. And that's what we're going to learn how to do today.
It's kind of like a girlfriend of mine from Sweden. She was a massage therapist, and she used to say in her delightful Swedish accent, "How good can you can you stand it? How good can you willing to have it?" You know, and it was always like, "Oh yeah," it's kind of like, "Okay, yeah, things are pretty good." Well, how good can you have it? So it's kind of like that. All right. So did somebody else just join in, wants to say hello?
This is Tara. Sorry I'm late.
Tara.
Hi. Welcome. We're happy
Thank
you're
you.
Here. And
yeah.
We're never worried about the late thing. You never have to say you're sorry. For
okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're here, and that's what we're just delighted about. So we're just sharing a little bit about what's become clear for us since we last met. So who would like to go next? Pick me. And you can also, if you have a question about Module 3 or anything like that, you know, now's the time where the floor is open.
This is Donna.
Yeah, Donna.
So I think I have become more confident in allowing an imperfect client to leave, and that actually happened twice within the past couple of months, and I was very, very sad and thinking, oh, what did I do?
Mm.
And now I see other things that are happening with these clients that other agents now are taking care of. And so I see that they are not who I would want now. So I kind of feel empowered that it's okay to let go.
Right.
So that's one thing. And I'm actually working with someone this week who is going to buy, and he's pre-qualified, and he made it a point to come out here, so I'm with him all week. That's great. But a couple of people that I have that I've been working with for some months, again, interested, I've met them, pre-qualified, we've looked. Things have happened in their lives that are putting them on hold, their health issues with themselves or family members, and I have like three. So I'm wondering how I'm supposed to understand this and move on when they seem to be such viable customers,
mm-hmm.
and now they're on hold, nothing
mm-hmm.
to do with me.
Right.
But I'm wondering am I reading too much into this, and it doesn't have anything to do with me.
Well, good. I really appreciate that you're willing to look at it from both perspectives. I think that's the most empowering way to look at every situation. So, you know, first when something like that happens to me, I look to see, well, is there something over here? Why am I attracting that? Why am I having that situation be delayed? So that's one, the very empowering way to look at things. And then it's also maybe it's like when a potential client gets delayed, I look at, okay, am I putting the stops on that somewhere? And I do that kind of process with myself. But then I also say, maybe it's a sign I need to just keep reaching out for more. You know, like it's kind of like in the dating game. You know, if you were dating one guy, you went out on a nice date, you had a really great dinner, and you were looking forward to seeing them, and then you didn't hear from them, rather than pining over that one person to call you back, it's better to go on in the dating scene. So it's kind of, business is a little bit like that, in that if there's a client not working out, it's an opportunity to, you know, reach out for a new client, a new potential client, and keep in relationship with that one client that's on hold for now. Just stay in relationship with them. Stay in contact with them. If you find anything, you know, like if you can send little things to do that,
right.
You know, like you
yeah.
can let them know, hey, I saw a property, I thought of you, I know you're, you know, you, I just want to keep you in the loop of what kind of is out there, you know, that's kind
and that's,
of.
That's what I'm doing,
yeah.
Because I know one's kind of a terminal health issue, so I want to be thoughtful about that, but at
yeah.
the same time,
right.
I figure I can email them or I call and no one answers, but I leave a message just and not talk about property and just say, oh, I hope, you know, so-and-so is doing well, you know, that type of thing.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's really the the power of what our definition of marketing is, building relationships. And so this is what happens. Life happens. And stuff happens in our customers' lives. And so being in relationship with them is supporting them in their life process. And in doing that, that's where the synchronicities really show up. So, you know, like Jan is saying, one, we look at, okay, so why, you know, why am I attracting delay? But on the other hand, being in relationship with our perfect our customers as life happens, who knows what can show up as a result of that?
Well, it may not be time. You know, their perfect house may not.
Yeah, exactly.
Be
or
here at the moment. It may come
whatever.
Later.
And something, and so the later as you you know, build relationship with them, just like you were saying, then suddenly something shows up synchronistically, and you go, oh. That's why we were waiting. That's why the delay. So during the delay period, you're actually actively being in relationship.
Hmm.
And that's what marketing, true marketing is.
Now,
and I also,
here's another tip that I do is right before I go to bed, I think about, you know, that account that I'm waiting for, and I kind of send them a little message in my dreams. I know that sounds a little, may sound a little far-fetched or
no,
woo-woo.
No, it doesn't.
But it's just another way to reach people in that everybody's got a lot going on. You know, I know I do. I just want to be, like you said, thoughtful, mindful. That
so what do you say to yourself? Or do you say it out loud or you write it? What do you say at
night?
You can
do it both ways. Sometimes I can kind of include them in a prayer circle like that, you know, like just a little... a dream time, you know, just communicating and letting them know I'm thinking of them, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever, you know, feels right to you. So, but, yeah, we all have it. And I think the big message is for all of us is don't get hooked on one account.
Right.
Keep going, reaching for others. Reach out, do the networking, get caught up on the calls you haven't made. You know, it can all be perfect timing. Just say, everything happens in perfect timing, and if this is not happening right now, it must not be perfect timing.
Okay.
Remember that, did you ever see that movie, Best Exotic Hotel?
Yeah.
That famous line. You know, everything turns out in the end. If it
hasn't
turned out,
it must not be the end.
That's right. I love that.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Thank you, Tana. Anybody else? What would you like to, a question or share something that you've noticed?
I noticed something pretty large this morning.
Yeah.
It's a little longer right before the call, actually.
Okay.
I have a client that...
This is Amy, just be sure.
Yes.
Say.
Yeah, this is Amy.
Okay, thanks, Amy.
That owes us
an extremely large amount of money.
Okay.
It, part of it is hit 90 days at this point. And I keep on looking at this saying, okay, what is it that is causing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I did realize one thing. I kind of got hooked into one of my contractor's partners' idea of kind of bend over backwards for the client no matter what, because he was so afraid of losing their business,
mm-hmm.
that I have allowed this to get completely out of control with payments.
Wow.
So,
Way to go, Amy.
Good aha.
And it has not made me feel like a business owner, like a professional business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount is over $30,000 at this point. So it's 90 days.
Right.
So right before the call, I
breathe.
Said,
okay. That's a big breathe.
Yeah, when you have that much out, it's like you have to breathe.
Yeah. And you're in the perfect place because the step number three, we're going to give you the antidote for this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope it's the antidote to receive our payment.
It can shift. It can shift things like that. Mm-hmm. So let me work with you just a minute on that, because anybody that's had a client, you know, that hasn't paid, you know, and it's gone into a long time. I love what you said, because you took ownership that there was some aspect that you hadn't taken action on, or you hadn't, you could have put in place so that that didn't go into such a delinquent status.
And you didn't for whatever reason.
So
right. Well, I didn't, because they kept on telling me that they weren't receiving payments from their clients.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here's how I look at when you make a when somebody makes a promise to pay you, and you make a promise to pay somebody else, when someone makes a promise to pay you for your service, and you accept that promise as the business owner, if you don't take the actions necessary to receive that payment, or to make other agreements, then I'm, as the business owner, is one whose integrity is out. Because a promise is a promise. And,
right.
And what has a business run smoothly is everybody keeping their promises. So.
Then it makes me feel worse because I'm not able to keep my promises.
That's right. That's right, because it just spreads all over, doesn't it?
And I think it's perfect that you mentioned that the, quote, reason that you didn't was because they were saying that they weren't receiving, you know, payment from their client.
So I was in real estate in my past life.
In training, so...
Well, I was just going to tell you a little, an example of what happened
different.
To me is that I worked for a real estate company in Houston, and I was a commercial office leasing broker. Normally, I represented the tenant in a transaction, but my boss had brought me in to represent a building owner, so I was leasing space inside of an office building.
Uh-huh.
And I was counting my commissions. I was doing quite well. The landlord was excited. They hadn't leased space in a long time. Long story short, I'm like doing a spreadsheet of what my commissions are going to be and just counting, waiting for the checks to come in. So the landlord never paid my broker. And so I'm over here, the representing broker, waiting to be paid, but my boss hadn't been paid either. So, ultimately the landlord defaulted on the payment. So I was up, you know, in deep yogurt, let's say. Because I had charged up, you know, I lived on credit cards and et cetera, waiting for that to come in. And I also didn't pursue my other tenant rep work, so I had put all my eggs in one basket. Anybody relate to this story?
Yes.
Okay. I thought somebody might else realize that they had mm-hmm. that similar story. All right. So what I did, and my dad and my brother, when they heard about it, they wanted to hire an attorney and sue my boss. They wanted to sue him. And I was like, no, that doesn't feel right to me. My boss has really treated me really well. So there was the first thought. You know, everybody was trying to give me free advice, sue them, leave them, all of that. And I just went, no, I need to do what feels right to me. So I designed it out how I wanted to be paid. And what I did is I was in such debt overload and no income coming in, I looked to see what my part in it was. Number one, my part was I put all my eggs in one basket. Number two, I didn't get the details about what was happening. I continued to live in a fantasy that I was going to get paid. There was just a whole long list of things that I had my part in that were somewhere I knew that it was off kilter. So how I turned it around is I owned my 100% responsibility in not getting paid. Did not let the landlord off the hook for not paying me, but the only way to have any power in those kind of situations is to own your 100% responsibility and take action, like take courageous action, unstoppable courage, like Patty said in the beginning of the call. And I did. I had unstoppable courage because I'm like, well, I could file bankruptcy or I could and then try to go get a job and dig my way, you know, try to climb my way up the ladder somewhere. And I said, or I could in real estate make more money in real estate and dig my way out faster if I just put my mind to it. And that's what I did. And I did. I pulled myself out.
Did you ever get paid?
And I got paid. I did get paid. I want you to know. It was like I hadn't even thought of that. You know how you think about something so intently for so long? I think it was about 2 years later. I'm driving along, and I saw there was a voicemail message on my phone, and it was from my broker. And he said, Jan, I have something here for you. I think you're going to be very happy. Come by the office. So I called him, and I went by the office, and he said, we got paid, and I have a check for you. And I looked at that check, and I'm like, it was like a bonus check then because, you know, I was already, you know, I had already got my life reoriented. I was already making money in other ways. And I had grown, and that's what I told him. I said, everybody wanted me to sue you. And I said, but, you know, I just want you to know, if I had received that money, I wouldn't have gotten as much value if I'd gotten it 2 years ago as what is by not getting it, I got more value as a person by not getting that money. I learned so much. And I said, so for that, I'm grateful to have this money today. It's a bonus. And because I didn't get it, I'm a better person.
So that's another clear demonstration of the power of strategic synchronicity. You took action. You took 100% responsibility, and you took action.
Right.
And synchronicity began to show up all around you.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing. Is when you don't get paid on a transaction or somebody doesn't pay you, there is a chink in the armor. There's something in your energy field that is allowing that to happen. And that's where you can go to work to clearing that out.
And you don't have to do that by yourself.
Okay. Because I want to tell you that in all of the years of our business, 13 years in business, I've only had one person not pay us. One.
Well, that makes me wonder if that's part of it, because I got, with my last business, I got hit very hard when CompUSA went out of business.
Right.
So I'm wondering if I'm still maybe curing that.
Very possible. Somewhere. It's very, very possible.
So, Amy, I just want to acknowledge you for, number one, taking the attractive action of participating in this program. Number two, you've surfaced this, as Janet put a chink in the armor, okay? And you reached out in this class to express it. And, there, you know, you could even notice that that's the principle, that's the power of strategic synchronicity. And so there's more reaching you can do. For example, Jan has offered a, you know, getting what makes you tick session. Everyone on this class has by registering for this class, is eligible for a 20-minute laser coaching session.
Amy's got one.
What does that mean,
class?
Laser?
Yeah, I've got one this afternoon.
So if you have a quote, a chink in your armor, if anyone's noticing that, make that 20-minute appointment and bring that to the 20-minute laser coaching session.
And Robin,
what does that mean, laser
one?
Coaching?
I owe you one. What's laser coaching?
I know. We'll reschedule it, Jan.
Okay. Laser coaching is just where you bring one issue to the call and we shine the light on it and see how we can move it around.
Okay, so we can do it during these five sessions or after? Is that what
you're saying? Well, you need to have them, if you can, do it between now and next week because after that, that offer expires.
Okay.
So if you go to the link... it's been in every email, I think. There's still some spots open.
Okay.
Just go to the link and click on one of my available spots, and we'll shine the light.
And it's also there in the members area.
In the members area. Okay. Either place.
Okay, good.
Okay. All right. So, Amy, we'll probably do some work on that, if you want, in your later call. And,
that works, because I did send, I actually, right before the call, it dawned on me, and I thought, okay, this has gotten pretty serious, and I can't take this lightly, so I sent the owner of the company a professional but very stern email.
Right, but, yeah, you can use part number three, I'm ready to let go of that kind of an issue ever happening again, and use part number three to specify what I want my perfect customers to expect of me when someone doesn't pay on time. So like in the future, you start creating. So let's just brainstorm that, everybody, for a minute. Let's say everybody, because I think everybody has an experience of something being late or not coming through or something like that. So is that a yes? Everybody's got one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. All right, so think of that situation, and we're going to apply this particular part of Module 3 to that situation. Here's how you do it. So let's say that the situation is that someone hasn't paid on time. So what I do is I ask that question, what do I want my perfect customers to expect of me when they haven't paid a bill on time? What do I want them to expect of me? So let's just throw some ideas out. What do we want of ourselves when that happens? Anybody have an idea?
Prompt follow-up
to get
the payment on time. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Was that Robin?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's one. Good. Somebody else, add on. What do I want?
Expect them to pay me on time?
Well, they haven't. They're not paying on time.
Right, but what I'm saying is with inside of me, I did not, once they got late on one invoice, months ago, I went into the expectation of them always paying right.
I know you did. So let's reframe it. So what would be more perfect for me in the future from myself? What do I want them to expect of me in the future when they don't pay on time?
When they're late one invoice.
Right. You could say, you know, like an example would be if they're late one invoice, I'm immediately, like prompt response, as Robin said, I'm immediately in communication. I discontinue services or I work out a new agreement. Does any of those resonate?
Charge a late fee.
I charge a late fee. Ask for partial payment. Mm-hmm. Work out a new agreement. Sometimes I've worked out agreements with people that, you know, like I'm saying, well, I see that you're not able to make that agreement. What could you make? How can we work that out? Anybody else have one? Are you starting? I just need to hear from you because this is a different way of thinking.
Ask for payment up front for future services.
And future service would be perfect is you pay me in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or you pay a substantial, I want them to expect me to ask for a substantial deposit up front. But that's in the beginning before you know they're going to be late. Maybe you need to verify their credit history to see if they have a good reputation for paying on time. Things like that.
Pre-qualified.
But that, you know, there's just
right.
A point I want you to everybody start thinking about is this is a different way to approach. Because in every situation, when I own that I have a part, you know, like I was actually part of this situation, I can shift every situation. It's when I become a victim of a situation that where I lose all of my power internally.
This is where, Robin, your experience that you expressed in the beginning of the call fits perfectly, because what Jan's saying is what I want my perfect customer to expect of me when, fill in the blank, First thing is I want them to expect me to be in communication with them.
Right.
Okay. Then there's another, if you look at the communication that you made, I want my perfect customer to expect me to be in clear, mutually empowering communication with them.
Right.
So that I'm clear that I get what I want, but the real key piece starts with being in communication. Right. And that's where being with that will show up a lot of blinders.
Right.
Oh, well, I can't be in communication with them because, you know, their customer's not paying them and I can't communicate with their customer. That's a blinder. If I'm in communication with my customer and I have a mutually empowering conversation with them, that demonstrates clearly to them what to do with their customer so that they get paid.
Right. So let's just kind of check in with everybody. Patty, what are you noticing for yourself out of the conversation? I'm just going to pick on a couple of you to kind of share that. What are you noticing for yourself?
Well, I know I've gotten myself in the same situation, and it's really given me some clarity on where do I stand, and always looking this way toward myself first. It's like, how did this happen, or where did that start, and then go from there, and to really handle it. Again, like from being the business owner instead of being the victim.
There you go.
Ooh,
there
yeah.
you go. We are not victims.
No.
And sometimes those situations show up where I'm going, oh, man, how did I create this?
Why did I create this situation?
And now aggravating about it, now I have to dig my way out of it. So.
Which in our perfect customer's terms means, oh, now I got to identify blinders. And
right.
I got to take my blinders off.
Right.
That's
right.
It.
Right. So very good. Noticing you're a business owner, you're not a victim. You're just a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I've noticed, this is Lisa.
Uh-huh, Lisa.
I've been through a situation recently where I was in a business relationship that really wasn't serving me at all, and so I got myself out of it. And what's interesting, I mean, I think that it's very important, and I've known this for a long time, to always look at it from a powerful situation, from not being a victim.
But I think there's a little tendency in many of us, in me for sure, to kind of enjoy the victim role for a little bit.
I think we all do that.
You're the only one.
I realized that that's what I was doing in detaching myself from this situation because, I mean, I really ended up losing a lot.
Right.
A lot of money and a lot of, time and energy. It felt sort of good to be a victim. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I got myself into this situation, and I got myself out of it. So
there's
no reason to be a victim here. And then when you start acting like a victim, I mean, you just have no power anymore, and you don't have any. You can't create anything exciting. You know,
victim
so
is not attractive.
No,
it attracts more victims. People that want to just trauma share all the time.
And Lisa, you expressed some very, very powerful wisdom when you said, I have a tendency to enjoy the victim role for a little bit.
Well, I'm not proud of that. But
well, hang on. What you said, and you need to write this down, I have a tendency to enjoy the victim role for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you get to determine how long is a little bit for you.
Yes.
Go ahead and indulge. Wallow in it. Okay, but you decide what the for a little bit means. Is it 30 minutes or 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
But you get to decide because that's where the power is. And because that's another blinder thinking that, I shouldn't wallow in this. No, go ahead and wallow in it for 30 seconds.
Let's take this, let's use this example so for everybody can relate to this one too. That something happens and I feel the victim of the situation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now ask your question, what do I want my perfect customers to expect of me when I feel the victim of the situation?
Ooh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. What do I want my perfect customers to expect of me when I feel like I'm the victim or I'm in my victim outfit? You know, the ones that has matching shoes and handbags.
So Lisa,
so
you're the perfect one to give the first answer for that.
Lisa, let's work on that. So what do you want your perfect customers expect of you when you're in the victim role?
I would guess I'd want them to expect me to step out of the victim role.
Okay.
and
what
power.
would be an example of how you could step out of the victim role?
To start seeing the possibilities that are available to me.
No, you're in the victim role. You just can't.
You are stuck in the victim role. I can see what I'm doing generally.
Okay.
I mean, I could see that I was doing this victim thing, and then because it's the minute I stepped out of that, I mean, the doors just opened up and the floodgates.
Okay.
It's like business flooded to me.
Yes.
And so it was kind of an amazing transition.
Right.
So I'm not sure.
Let me just throw out a few suggestions perhaps.
Yeah.
So what do I want my perfect customer to expect of me when I'm stuck in the muck in the victim role? So one would be to ask myself, how did I attract this?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I attract this? What am I getting out of it?
Mm-hmm.
What is my part in this situation? Where did I have my blinders on that this situation occurred?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's just say I'm in the muck and I'm just like, I didn't have any part in it. It really is all them. that has just done it to me again.
Mm-hmm.
Then the best thing to do is here's what I do, is I get in communication with someone who isn't going to let me, they aren't going to trauma with me.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to go, that is just awful. That's just so sucky. Oh, yeah, I had that same experience. Yeah. None of that goes anywhere. Get in communication with someone and you say, I'm stuck in the muck, I feel like a victim, here's what happened, I want to see my part in it, can you help me? That's what I do. I get in communication with someone that can help me see both sides of the situation.
So the process is I'm in the victim role,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just in the muck.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in that, I've got my victim blinder on, and I can't see it. However, when I identify, oh, I'm in the victim role,
mm-hmm.
that's you're 50% there. Blinder's like halfway off.
Right.
That's when you have the power to take an action. And that's where you say, when you identify, oh, I'm in the victim role, that's when you can say, okay, I'm going to be here for 30 minutes or 30 seconds. However long you can stand it, because once you're awake and aware of the blinder that I'm in the victim role, you know, I can't stand it for more than 30 seconds before I have to take an attractive action like Jen just demonstrated.
Yeah, another one for me that I want my perfect customer to expect me when I'm in the stuck in the muck or in the victim role or both is I go get some body work. I'll work with a massage therapist, someone that can move energy. I go to my network chiropractor who is really good with moving energy and, you know, helping me to get back in my body, because a lot of times what happens when I'm kind of shell-shocked that something has happened, I feel kind of numb, and I go numb, and I stop thinking clearly, and so I like do whatever I need to do to get my clarity back. That's what I do, because I want my perfect customers. Something I want my perfect customers to expect of me is that I'm my 100% best. And I couldn't walk in here and teach class with you guys if I wasn't my 100% best.
And so it's a little bit of a process, and that's why, Lisa, what you said was so powerful when you said the minute I step out of that victim role,
right.
synchronicities just start happening. Again, that's the power of strategic synchronicities. Synchronicities are all around us all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So is this helping?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have a question or a situation you'd like to turn around? You know, you want more clients, your clients haven't closed. You have.
Well, I'll step in here. This is Patty.
Okay, Patty.
You know, that's more clients, you know, more perfect clients, more coaching clients. Yeah.
Okay. So. Not enough clients.
Right.
Which produces not enough.
Not enough income. Right.
Cha-ching, okay.
Right.
The piece of that maybe that I have feeling like I have to do everything.
All right.
Yep.
So let's
totally.
Use the process. The complaint is not enough clients.
Not enough clients.
Not enough, therefore, not enough income.
Right.
All right. So what do I want my perfect customers to expect of me when I don't have enough clients and not enough income? What do I want them to expect of me?
That I'm out there attracting more clients.
Okay, and how would you do that?
Oh, I'd have more speaking. I'd have more speaking gigs. I'd
How do you get more speaking gigs?
Well, I asked for them. I asked people. Right now I've been asking people for speaking opportunities.
All right. So you get on the phone, you meet up
right.
with them. How do you do that?
All of the above.
Okay. What else?
What else?
So does anybody here relate to not enough clients, not enough income?
Sure.
I have a lot going on, and I'd like them to close. Before
okay.
I have new ones, I want the ones that I have
to close.
I have good relationships with them. They seem
mm-hmm.
genuine, but they don't close.
Okay. So when they don't close, the antidote is what? What do I want them to expect of me when they don't close or I don't have enough? Anybody?
I don't know.
Find new clients.
Find new clients.
Right.
The antidote for any time, Amy, whenever the antidote is I don't have enough clients or they're not closing, the antidote is?
Find new clients.
Thank you.
And then they'll close later?
They may or may not.
Okay.
Real estate, you never know if they're going to close.
So the tip is here, if you've got three people on your client list, what do you do when you get to number three and none of them have closed? You want 100 people on your client list. And Patty surfaced the wisdom when she said, and she answered the question that Jan asked, well, you know, not enough clients, not enough income. She said, more speaking gigs. And she said, how do you get that? And she said, talk to more people.
You've got to, in sales, if you put all your eggs in one basket, you're playing a crapshoot. You're like at the roulette table, and you are at Las Vegas playing a betting game.
And the good news is, if the key is talking,
if you roll a seven or whatever the way it works, because I'm not a gambler, then you lucked out. It's like, but. Do you want your perfect clients to expect you to go around buying lottery tickets every day? And that's all you do? So that's like buying a lottery ticket every day and then don't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Buy your lottery ticket, and if that comes in, it'll be like my bonus check I got. That'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, get to work. Get on the phone. Get out there. Who's sneezing?
Me. Sorry.
Must be true.
Who is me?
It's Lisa.
Lisa, okay. Here's my, I have a saying that my grandmother used to say, that you sneeze on the truth.
This must be the truth.
So you must be resonating with something.
Yes.
All right, so you sneeze on it. You know it's true. All right, so whenever you need more clients or they're not closing or the ones you've got didn't pay, the antidote is the same. Get in action. Get some new clients. Get things going. Because in sales, what it takes is you've got to have a lot. Think of it like you've heard the sales funnel example.
Mm-hmm.
You put a lot in the top part of the funnel, the big part of the funnel. And the more you have in the top, the more that brings the pressure to squeeze a client, out the bottom. And it's literally true. Is that the more you have in your funnel, the more opportunity you have to close sales.
And the good news is there's plenty of people to talk to.
So get out of the victim role. Get into the role of I'm a courageous, unstoppable business owner. I can have as many clients as I want. I may have to have a waiting list for people to work with me. Hello? Start reframing. People are signing up for your programs or they're wanting to work with you in their real estate, and you said, well, that class is closed, or I'm actually, my whole calendar is full, but I can start working with you in September. All right? Start seeing yourself as someone who's in demand. And we'll, in the next module, I'll give you a little preview of coming attractions, and I know we're at the top of our hour now, but it's all about being who you're being. And so in module 4, we're going to shift all of these complaints, because it's about who I'm being, about what I want to attract. And so when you start really creating who you're being, like I'm being someone who's in demand, I'm being someone who has a waiting list for people to work with me, I'm being that all my classes are full and I'm planning, months in advance for additional clients to work with. Start being that now before you have that in place, and that's what is attractive. People are drawn to who you're being. So, questions, comments before we close for today? So I wanted to let you know, while you're thinking about if you have any questions or comments, Next week is our grand finale call. It's a 2.5-hour virtual intensive. And so it's meant to really catapult you forward to capitalize on everything that we've been covering in the last few modules. Modules 4 and 5 are posted now, so you'll have all of the modules. Modules 4 and 5, don't freak out, are about the same length as the previous modules, so you've got it all. And if you need to catch up on any of the modules, do that in advance of tomorrow or next week's call. If you're not going to be on next week's call, if you wouldn't mind just dropping me a note, I'd like to just, or giving me a call, I'd like to just know that in advance, because really want to, you know, just really use that extra concentrated amount of time to, you know, bring it home, you know, bring it in, everything that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. So now, any questions or comments before we close?
Can I haven't done it yet, but can I still listen to number 2 from last week?
You bet. Okay. All the recordings are in the membership site. Just go to the week number 2, or the module 2, I think it would be, and you'll find the week number 2 recording there.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? Questions or comments?
I thought it was a great class.
Oh, good.
It was really helpful.
And what was most helpful for you?
That's a good question. I just think the discussion, all of the discussion was helpful just to think about. And I just, the idea of turning a complaint, I mean, I just really like the idea of turning a complaint into power, into something that can be working for us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, complaints are my friend.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Any comments? Well, let's just go around real quickly. Whoever can stay for just 1 second, what was the most powerful or meaningful, useful, valuable information you received from today's class? 1 or 2 words.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
I've been being a victim.
Okay. Thank
you. I didn't hear that.
Mm-hmm. It made me realize that I've been being a victim and banking on only 2 clients for all my income.
Mm. There you go. Power.
What's the opposite being
of that?
You're
taking your power back.
I'm going to find a way to find a lot more new clients.
There you go. Cool. Thank you, Amy. Who's next? What's most valuable or useful?
This is Robin. For me, I'm with Lisa, the reframing of the complaint. And how amazing that can be, and how difficult it can be to be specific in your reframing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Instead of my perfect customer will trust me. No, my perfect customer. You know, getting really specific in what that looks like.
I want my perfect customer to expect me to be a victim for 30 seconds.
That's right.
Excellent. Thank you. Somebody else?
Yeah, this is Patty.
Yeah.
Just, you know, stepping into that business owner role and making different choices.
Mm.
You know, talking to more people or making other agreements. Just really looking and seeing what's possible.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, just complaining.
Right. Yeah. All right. Anybody else like to share?
Well, I just like to one of the reasons I thought that, this is Lisa, that I thought that the complaints, reframing the complaints was so powerful is that most of the time we think of complaints as something negative. Mm-hmm. And this is a way to take a positive spin on it. Well, yeah, we have the complaint, but mm-hmm. if this complaint is really a clue to mm-hmm. how we can turn it around.
Yeah.
So it makes it a positive thing.
Complaints are clues. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I've heard this for years, that sometimes you have to know what you – first time I've heard that if you know what you don't want, it's a path to what I do want. And it doesn't matter which door you come in. It could be a complaint or something I don't want is helping me to see what I do want more clearly. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Anybody else? All right. Well, don't forget about next week, 2.5 hours. Just block it off. Don't cheat yourself. This is your opportunity. And there's still time for your laser coaching before next week. We're back from vacation. I'm looking forward to talking to you. And just thank you for participating today so fully. And let's just knock this ball out of the park. So,
okay.
All right. Much love to you all. And thanks again for a fabulous class number 3. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.